you're going to be like, wow, that Ruby girl is really, really cool. And I want to be your friend. Ruby, 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 Ruby!
Hey, hey, arcaders, it's UberNerd527 here. Welcome once again to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast and our mini-episode known only as Ruby Roundup. This is the segment of the podcast where we'll be talking through Volume 3 of Ruby. We're going to talk about each episode individually. Now, if you've never watched Ruby before, Ruby is a web show that's on Rooster Teeth, that's part of roosterteeth.com. You can also watch it on Netflix, Crunchyroll, and you can also watch it, of course, on YouTube as well. And you can see all the different episodes through there. But please note that this show is going over Volume 3 of Ruby. So if you haven't watched the episode yet, please make sure you do before actually listening to this podcast, because we are going to be spoiling everything. So make sure you watch the episode that we talk about before you actually listen to this episode. But before we do, though, I want to really quickly say that I have had a blast of a time doing this podcast, doing this new segment for Cartoon Connoisseur Theater about Ruby. I've had a lot of fun doing it. Because I've had so much fun doing this, I wanted to try to do something a little bit more consistent. Since these episodes seem to only be coming out once every week, every other week, or something like that, it's not as consistent as I was as hoping. But it's been a lot of fun doing it, so I want to do something a little bit different. So at the end of this episode, I will be announcing something very, very special. So please stay tuned. I hope you guys will enjoy this. And the whole reason why I'm announcing it here on this podcast is because of how much fun I've been having doing it. So hopefully you will enjoy that. So let's get into the episode. This is Volume 3 of Ruby, Episode 3. And the episode is entitled, It's Brawl in the Family. Starting off the episode, we just start the episode right where we left off from episode 2. Now, if you remember from episode 2, we ended with Weiss seeing a ship in the distance and basically saying that her sister was coming. And now we actually get introduced to Winter, Weiss's older sister. Now, I have to say, one of the things that I really liked about this scene is we get to see kind of a different side of Weiss. At the end of the last episode, I wasn't really sure whether Weiss was nervous or scared of her sister coming, or didn't really want her sister to come. I'm not really sure, but I do know that I was a little confused. And then the start of this episode, she was really excited that her sister was there. Now, maybe it was a mix of emotions, kind of like both nervous and confusion all at the same time, but you got to see a different side of why she was very happy to see her sister. She was really kind of bragging about how she's been doing it in school and all that. And she was just really, really happy. That's basically the best way I can describe it, is she was just really, really happy. Now, let's go into her sister, Winter. Now, her older sister, Winter, when I first saw the character models for Winter, I wasn't exactly sure what to think. The only thing that really came to mind first and foremost was one word, and that, of course, was she was spoiled. That she was going to be some kind of spoiled, rotten brat that wasn't too thrilled that she had a baby sister. So, I really don't know, except for spoiled rotten, I didn't really think that she would be very nice to her sister at all. But I was both surprised and not surprised from the actual Winter that we did get. Weiss's sister Winter is kind of a combination of harshness and caring. She obviously is very harsh with her sister when she's first introduced. She basically scolds her sister about the bad performance she did in their first round, which was weird because they won, but she basically was saying how many mistakes she found in the match and all that. So it was something that I thought was, oh, well, that's kind of harsh. But then as Weiss is kind of explaining all the things that she has been doing at the school, Winter smacks her in the head and then asks her, well, I don't care. Then it basically just says, I don't care all about that. I want to know how you're doing, how your life is doing. If you have any friends, all this stuff. So you can really tell that I think she actually does care for her younger sister. She actually cares about what she is, you know, her life. She doesn't really necessarily care how she's doing at school, because I'm sure she could probably easily find that out. But, you know, she does care about her sister, and this was slightly a surprise to me that she had that kind of characteristic about her. So I was very impressed and also a little bit surprised. But at the same time, I wasn't surprised at the same time. So it was kind of a little of both. So then after we're introduced to Winter, we go into another introduction. And this is something I've actually been waiting for a very long time. We got a little bit of introduction last episode. And of course, the character I'm talking about is Uncle Crow. Now, like I said, in previous episodes, I've been excited about Uncle Crow since his announcement, and also the fact that he's been voiced by one of my favorite voice actors, and we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. But Uncle Crow was a character I've been really excited to see. And now, last episode, we didn't really get to see much of him. He mainly just had a cameo in the last episode. This one, we full off get introduced to him and his attitude and the way his character is. We really just get to see who Uncle Crow is. This was very interesting. Now, when Uncle Crow's introduced, of course, you see that he's very standoffish. Of course, he's drunk. And he basically stands off against Winter. Now, of course, last episode, he said that that was the fight he was waiting for. And, of course, now we get that fight between Crow and Winter. So, at first, they kind of banter back and forth. And you could really see that he enjoys pushing Winter's buttons. Like, literally, he knows how to make her angry. And he enjoys every bit of it. So he antagonizes her to a fight. And of course, Winter gets so angry that she actually attacks. And then they have this awesome fight. Now, I'm not going to go into play-by-play details of how the fight goes. I'm sure if you're listening to this, hopefully you've actually already seen it. If you don't remember it, go back, watch the fight. It's a really great fight. Very well choreographed. I enjoyed it very, very much. You can tell that both Crow and Winter have some sort of history together. Obviously, they know each other. They've been near each other before. What that history is, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe they were on a team together. I'm not sure. We will definitely see as the season goes on. I also want to comment very quickly on both Winter and Crow's weapons. Winter's weapon is really kind of cool. It's kind of a smaller version of what Weiss has. Weiss kind of has a blade and a kind of a magnum pistol kind of cross. But Winter's weapon is really kind of neat because it's a blade, and then inside the blade is another blade. So she kind of has like twin blades, and one of the blades is actually hidden inside the other one, which I thought was kind of neat. And the sword itself was built very well. I enjoyed the design of her swords, and I can't wait to see what else she can do with them. As for Crow's was very Final Fantasy-esque. It looked very much like Leon's gunblade from Final Fantasy VIII, I believe. I'm sorry if I'm wrong, Final Fantasy fans. I only know really Leon from, I guess his name is Squall in Final Fantasy VIII, but I only really know Leon from Kingdom Hearts. So it kind of looked like the gunblade. I would kind of re-call it a scythe blade. Or a scythe gun. It's a little bit different than, obviously, Ruby's is huge, and Crow's is a little bit smaller. And it looks like the sword can actually turn into a scythe. So, but we kind of saw like a hint of that, but we didn't see the full extent of it in this episode. So hopefully that will unfurl a little bit later as well. Then at near the very end of the fight, Winter kind of charged up for like a massive attack. And Crow was about to do the same, but then he stops, puts his weapon away, and then just kind of tells her, come on, bring it. I want to know exactly why he did that. Now, it could be that he knew who was coming to break up the fight and was like, well, this is going to end, so I'm just going to antagonize her a little bit more. It could be because he wanted to see what she could actually do. I'm not exactly sure, so this was kind of an interesting little scene here as well. And if you have any theories, please let me know. Now, of course, Ironwood, General Ironwood, who was introduced in the last volume of Ruby, comes and breaks up the fight and scolds both fighters, tells Winter to go away, and tells Crow that he wants to talk to him in private. And before they leave, you see Penny with Ironwood. Now, obviously, if you've watched Ruby before, you know who Penny is, you know what she is, but it was kind of interesting to see Penny just kind of hanging out. She didn't have any dialogue. She just kind of showed up. She was in the background. And then, of course, before she left, she waved at Ruby, who waved back. It was kind of a cute little scene. But really, is it kind of reminding us that Penny is a character? I don't know. I don't know exactly. Maybe we'll see Penny a little bit more in the next episode. I guess we'll just find out. Next up, we go into kind of an introduction to Crow and Ruby's kind of relationship. You can see that Uncle Crow and Ruby kind of really have a great relationship with each other. As Ruby is just grabs onto Uncle Crow's arm and just is really excited to see him. And of course, Uncle Crow is really excited to see, well, kind of excited to see her. I really believe, especially after the story that Yang told in the last volume, I believe that Crow really does love these two kids. That I'm not sure whether Crow is related more to her father or her mother. I'm not exactly sure. If I would hazard a guess, I would probably say he's related to her mother, Summer Rose. But I'm not 100% on that, so please forgive me. I'm not sure where he falls on the family tree, but I really do feel that he cares for them, especially both between Yang's story and also how he kind of interacts with Ruby in this scene. So then after that, of course, you know, Weiss and Ruby kind of sum up the fight and they fight back and forth whose relative is stronger. That was just kind of a funny scene. After the fight's done and everyone leaves, you see the scene of Uncle Crow with Ironwood and Glenda going up an elevator and coming out into Ozpin's office, where we find out that Crow has been a reconnaissance spy for this group of people to try to find out who this true enemy is. If you can't, I know you guys can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes, true enemy is. He's been trying to find information. Now, obviously, they already know that the enemy is somewhere there in the Vital Festival planning on something, and they don't know what. Now, obviously, what I can think of is that this is, of course, they're alluding to Cinder and all of her crew. Now, who else is part of this crew? Not really sure. We'll find out, I'm sure. I know that earlier in the first episode, I didn't mention this in the first episode, and I actually jumped over it, but we saw a glimpse of who we think is Neo from Volume 2 that was in the four-person group with Cinder, Mercury, and Emerald. So, obviously, Neo is working with them, but we haven't seen her since. So, what she's up to, I don't know, but we'll find out, I'm sure, eventually. Now, another thing that was kind of interesting to note was that all these people in charge of the schools, plus some of the teachers, plus, of course, Crow and Winter, were all part of some kind of underground good guy organization that has been fighting some type of underground secret war against some kind of enemy that's been threatening all of Remnant. So, what does this mean? I'm not really sure. Have they been fighting this for long? Probably. It seems like it. They seem to have been working as a team for a very long time. This reminds me, this is kind of very reminiscent of Naruto in a way, how like the older generation is kind of like the, has like this little secret organization of good guys. If you remember, kind of have like this backstory and like all these people have been working together. It kind of reminds me of that. I can't really think of any other better example than Naruto, so please forgive me, but I kind of remember that. One of the other things that I kind of noted, they talked about autumn. Now, earlier in the episode, Ruby made it a point to let everyone know that this was fall. Remember, in the first episode, I wasn't sure what season it was, but Ruby said it was fall. And later on in the meeting, they talk about autumn's condition. Now, the way they talked about it sounded like a person, not the season. Now, I'm not exactly sure who Autumn is, if they're talking about Autumn, because Ruby and Yang's mother was Summer Rose. So, is this another relative? Is this a new character that they're introducing? And they're going to talk about, very similar to how they were talking about Crow and Winter and seasons one, volumes one and two. I don't know. But they talked about her. If you listen to this, because I actually listened to this, that quote several times, and I wasn't sure what the term autumn was in context. The best way I could think about it was they were talking about a person. So if you want to throw out your theories, please let me know. I will let you know at the end of the podcast exactly how to contact me, and just let me know. So they're talking about a real fight, which of course I'm thinking is Cinder. This is their real enemy. And then, of course, at the very end, they need to find a guardian. Now, who this guardian is, of course, I'm not sure. They may be alluding to Ruby. Who knows? They need to find this guardian, whoever this guardian is. So we'll be probably looking for that. There may be another MacGuffin. In case you don't know what a MacGuffin is a movie term used for an item that people are trying to find. It's usually an item that doesn't have too much significance, but a lot of time, sometimes in a story it does. A good example would be in Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Ark of the Covenant is a MacGuffin. It's something that people are trying to follow, and it moves the story forward. So, who this guardian is, I don't know. This may be a MacGuffin, and we'll find out. Then, of course, after that, we get a scene of Mercury, Emerald, and Cinder. They're in their dorm, and they're talking. Now, earlier in the episode, we saw Mercury see the fight between Winter and Crow, and then he ran off, and obviously to tell Cinder what's going on. Now, they know who Crow is. Now, whether they know which team Crow is playing for, I'm not exactly sure. They do talk a little bit about him and a little bit about his presence there. As Cinder is talking, you notice that she has a tablet in her hand, and that on the tablet has that chess piece that we saw in Volume 2, the computer virus that she had put on the computers in the communication lab. You saw that chess piece, and again, you see that chess piece again. Also, in the top left corner of that tablet, you also see a very brief picture of Ironwood as she's talking about her friend who has helped her get access into the computers, more access than she had previously. Now, whether that is a red herring to kind of put us off the scent and make us think that Ironwood is a villain, I'm not sure. Now, I'm not really sure whether Ironwood is evil or not. Whether he's an agent for the other, you know, Cinder and her group, or whether he's a good guy, he has good intentions, he's just going about it the wrong way. I'm not really sure. Now, I'm not really sure why that picture is up there. Now, my theory is that this is his profile that they got access to, and they're using his profile to kind of do whatever it is that they're doing. So that's just my theory, and of course, if you want to throw your theories out, please let me know in the comments or whatnot. And again, I'll let you know where to contact me at the end. Finally, you find out that Cinder now has control of the matchups in the tournament. And she goes ahead and makes sure that Mercury and Emerald go against two of the members from Team Coffee. Now, if you remember from the end of Volume 2, we met all of Team Coffee. Now, of course, one of those fighters is Coco from Team Coffee. I really enjoyed Coco's character. I thought she was really cool. She had the cool Gatling gun that came out of like this like cool looking bag, box, purse kind of thing. So I really enjoyed her. So I'm very happy to see her again. And of course, now I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's name because I know I'm going to butcher it. But if you remember the big tall guy from Volume 2 in their team, he's Coco's partner. So we'll see them in the next episode, because of course that's where this episode ends, is the start of that match. This is the start of the doubles round of the tournament, and so it's the very start of the match, and of course we end with Cinder kind of sitting there clapping, and of course knowing that she has full control over this tournament now. That's basically where we end this episode for this week. Now, let's go over some pros and cons, okay? So first of all, I want to say that this probably is one of my favorite episodes of the three that we have so far. I really, really enjoyed this episode. It really had a great fight scene in the middle. It had some good information that we need to know. It kind of furthered the story a little bit more. And I will have to say there were some phony moments. Now, I made the prediction last episode that we were going to get a serious episode at this time. And I was partially right. This episode was a little more serious than the episode previous. And I think that's probably going to continue the trend. Now, obviously, because this is Ruby, because it's a show that doesn't take itself extremely seriously, you know, there were funny moments. Of course, some of my favorite lines in the show were, of course, Ruby saying, "The honor is in my court," because she doesn't know exactly how to speak to Winter, because, of course, Winter is very prim and proper, so you have to speak very proper around her, so she's not exactly sure how to do that. So she says a lot of weird things, of course. And the other one was, as Weiss and Winter are walking towards her dorm, she tells her about the bunk beds, and she says something to the effect of, "The bunk beds only look unstable." I thought that was just hilarious. So that was one of the things that I enjoyed. Another thing I want to say is, I Rooster Teeth, I don't know whether you're listening to this or not. If you are, thank you for listening. I want to say you guys have done a great job with the end credits. I love looking at all the artwork and character models that you put up during the credits. I really, really enjoy that. So thank you so much for doing that. You guys really need to look at these models, because they're fantastic pieces of art. I had to pause the end of it to see all the different artwork. Now, all they really had was designs for Winter, designs for Crow, designs for Winter's ship, and then the designs for Cinder in her new costume. So I think that was really cool. I really, really enjoyed it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is probably going to be the longer one. That's why I left it for last. And that is, one of the things that I've always enjoyed about Ruby is the voiced cast. Every voice actor who has worked on the show has done a phenomenal job of voicing their characters and using their vocal talents to bring these characters to life. There has never been a character in this show so far that I have not liked their voice, or they have not done a good job acting, because they have done a phenomenal, phenomenal job acting these characters out and bringing them to life. And I really, really enjoyed it. But I want to bring to light two voice actors who were introduced in this episode. Of course, Vic Mignogna, I'll talk about him in a second, because that is the one I want to talk about the most. But right now I want to start off with Elizabeth Maxwell. Now, I have never heard her name before. I've never heard of her name until she was announced. She was announced for Winter earlier, so I knew she was coming. In fact, in that Ruby podcast episode that we had a few months back, I didn't tell people that she was going to voice Winter. I heard her name, but I don't know where she was from. So before I recorded the podcast, I actually went on IMDb and found out a few things. Now, she has been in a lot of animes. Most notably, she's been in an anime called Ghost in the Shell Arise. Now, I've never watched any of the Ghost in the Shell series, but I've heard it was good. She does a character in that one. She's also done characters for One Piece, Fairy Tail, and Attack on Titan. There's a character in Attack on Titan called Freckles, if that means anything to you. I haven't watched all of Attack on Titan. I don't know who Freckles is, so if that means anything to you, well, then good on you. But I will have to say, she did a great job of bringing Winter to life. I really enjoyed her voice acting. I really enjoyed the delivery of her lines. She did a great, great job. I really enjoyed her, and I can't wait to see more of her as the season continues, and as we see more of Winter. I really, really am excited to hear more from her. And of course, Vic Mignogna. Now, years ago, I actually met Vic Mignogna at MegaCon, and he was probably one of the nicest people I've ever met. He took a picture with me. He commented on my Naruto shirt, which at the time I knew of Vic Mignogna, and I've heard him in different animes, but I didn't know he was on Naruto. So it was kind of surprising to me that he would know it. But yeah, he was really excited to see that I had a Naruto shirt on. So besides Naruto, he's been on shows like Pokemon, he's been on Bleach, he's been on Attack on Titan, and also most notably, he's been on Full Metal Alchemist. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Full Metal Alchemist. I've seen the show, but I have to say that Edward Elric is probably one of his best characters he's ever voiced. I really enjoy that character, even though I'm not a huge fan of the show itself. I think that he does a phenomenal job of voicing that character. Dude, if Vic Mignogna, if you're listening to this right now, you do a great job voicing these characters. Every show that I've seen him in, which mostly is anime, every show I've seen him in, he's done a great, great job. I really, really enjoy his voice acting. He brings a lot to the table. I've seen him in plenty of things, and he does a really good job. So if you're listening to this, Vic, you did a great job with Crow. I cannot wait to hear more of you as Crow. I hope that this is not just this season. I hope it continues on with other seasons as well. And that's pretty much it for the pros. I know I had a lot of pros, but this was a really great episode. My only con is this was more setup. This was a lot of setup. This was a lot of exposition that had to go through. Now, something I wanted to explain last episode, but I didn't because I forgot it, but I'll go ahead and explain episode. This is the first volume of Ruby that I have seen not together, that I've seen just episode by episode. I have never seen Ruby when it's not together. Now, for those of you who don't realize, when they're done with one of the volumes, they usually put them all together in like one big movie. So if you go on Netflix or if you buy the Blu-ray off the site, you actually get to see the whole thing as one big movie. So you get to see the story all together. But this is a little different for me because this is like just part of a story. So the geek in me just really cannot wait for more. I want more. I want more and I want it now. You know, I don't want to wait for this. So it's just me being a little impatient with the show and just wanting to continue on and just having enough with the setup. That's really my only con for this episode. But I will say, this is a great example of how to set up a story, how to really get people engaged. The last episode was kind of like dessert. This was kind of a little bit more meat. And this was really just a whole bunch of setup with a lot of fun in it, wrapped in it. So I really did enjoy that. So that's pretty much it for the Ruby episode. Now, as promised, I had a very special announcement to go over real quickly. Before I do, I want to say again, I want to reiterate this again. I've had a lot of fun doing this Ruby podcast, and I'm going to continue to do it because I have fun. And I hope you guys who are listening are enjoying this as much as I am and enjoying this. So please, please continue to listen. Now, because I've had so much fun with this, I want to continue to do this on a more consistent basis. So I tried to look for something that I could go over, something that I could do in this very similar format. And then I got to thinking, what about Pokemon? Because Pokemon has been one of my favorite things that I love, my favorite video game. I love the characters. I've been reading the manga for the last couple of weeks. I really, really enjoy Pokemon. And so I decided to watch Pokemon, the anime. Now, last episode, I said that I wasn't a big fan of the anime. And I wasn't. But then I started to watch some of the episodes. And I really am starting to enjoy this. So I kind of want to do the same format for the Ruby podcast for this. So, starting sometime next month, we are going to start a new segment here on Cartoon Connoisseur Theater called Pokemon Rewind, where we're going to pick a story arc from the Pokemon anime, and we're going to go through each episode of that story arc. It could be a random. We're not going to keep the story arcs in order. We're just going to pick a random story arc, but then we're going to keep the episodes in order. So that way it'll keep you on your toes. Pokemon is readily available now on streaming, online. You can go to YouTube and type in whatever episode that we're watching and watch it. So look for that. Now, I don't want to take too much information because our supplemental episode will be coming out here in a few weeks. And that is with me and Danny, the ultrasonic player. We talk a little bit more about Pokemon, about what this podcast, what to expect with the podcast, and to get people excited about it. But I wanted to make sure that I announced this to you because this podcast, this segment of the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater podcast, is actually the whole reason I have decided to do this. So I wanted to make sure that I announced it first here. And it'll probably be announced on the site as well. So thank you very much for listening. If you would like to, please make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes on the podcast app. And make sure you also write a review if you like this podcast. Please make sure you put any kind of stars, 1 to 5. Please make sure. And also, please share this on your social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever. Share this podcast with people so that way we can get more people listening. I have started to put the episodes up on YouTube, so you can now listen to this on YouTube as well. So please make sure to share these with other people so that way they can get into this and we can really make something special out of this. You could also comment on the podcast at thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. Or if you're on Twitter, at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network or at Tails FT Game Grid. Again, that's at Tails FT Game Grid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for Ruby Roundup, our mini cast here on the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. And just have a nice night, folks.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.